They don't have anything against real estate agents per se, but they have something against, you know, people who are just commission-based.
That never happens. What are you talking about? Hello, team, and welcome back to another episode of The Two Fat Brokers.
You thought we'd bored of them by now, wouldn't you?
No one's ever bored of them, mate. This drivel will go on for years. Today we are... I'm Barney from Dubai.
I'm Ben from Abu Dhabi.
And today we are going to delve deep into the excruciatingly boring topic of mortgages. Ben.
I mean, not boring.
Well, not for
quite
you.
Quite interesting.
Because you're boring.
And lots of people. If you're boring, do you find interest in boring subjects? Maybe.
Yes, that's the definition of boring, isn't it? I mean, yeah, boring people aren't into skydiving. That's not true, actually. I've met some pretty boring skydivers.
Yeah. So, I mean, mortgages are very, very important.
Agreed.
And actually, you know, they have been important in the capitalist mechanism for many, many years, borrowing money to buy an asset that you can't afford with cash. I mean, I wouldn't expect you to understand, you know, because you're such a boutique broker, you only deal with cash buyers.
I had to look up what a mortgage was when we decided to do this topic, to be honest.
People wheeling up trucks, wheelbarrows of cash to buy your properties. Well, some of us, you know, we're a little bit more humble.
Pragmatic,
We deal with all sectors of society, not the top 0.1%.
Not even the top, like, 10%.
Yeah, true. So, I mean, our clients have to use mortgages and should use mortgages, actually. And that's something we'll go into a little bit later.
So tell me about the mortgage rates. I have heard tell that they may be coming down soon.
I mean, difficult to predict, but they've stopped going up. Which
Fed
is...
has cut 0.25 basis points.
Has it really?
It did.
Well, you better informed than me. So the Abu Dhabi rate does follow that, but the bank rates don't necessarily. And Abu Dhabi bank rates have been, artificially low, unusually low compared to global rates and compared to UK and US. So you can still get 3.99 from quite a few banks in Abu Dhabi.
In the UK, there was six and a half at one point,
US as well. Crazy. So, I mean, I think there's been a lot of pressure on the banks to have good rates because, you know, our economy is doing great. We didn't have the kind of inflation that the US had, so we didn't really want to raise rates, but because we're pegged to the dollar, we had to. So they wanted to keep the bank rates. Really? making me doubt my own interests. I was going on a roll there. I never get to talk.
Otherwise, we'd never come to the end. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah.
Well, money's cheap again.
Yeah. So you can get a very good rate mortgage.
Okay. And from your perspective and your research, do you know what percentage of buyers are using mortgages, let's say, in Abu Dhabi at the moment?
I don't. I could find out, actually, because we have access to that kind of information. I don't, but for the end user market, it's going to be very, very high. I would say 70%, something like that.
Okay. And so obviously the fact that we've not seen the interest rates as... Oh, Joel.
It's not my phone.
Whose phone is it?
It's mine.
Ben.
I thought I'd turn the volume off.
Just burning money. This is just so unprofessional.
Sorry, Joel.
So even a boring ringtone.
It's in the front zip pocket.
Even a boring ringtone.
Need to just put it on mute.
Yeah, please. I thought I'd turn the sound off.
It's an Android, mate. Just throw it against the wall.
I have the same phone. I just couldn't find it. Nothing wrong with Android, by the way.
You can keep that in, by the way. You can keep that. Disgraceful behaviour in.
Yeah.
So, going back to what we were talking about before, we were so rudely interrupted by Ben's phone. We've obviously seen lower interest rates here across the board, compared to other countries. Do you think it's had an effect on the market? Certainly in Abu Dhabi, it hasn't seemed to have had an effect here. You know, the market's booming in Dubai, certainly.
Well, I mean, the rates... So the rates at their very lowest are about 2.99. So now they're 3.99. So there's only been a percent. So the government, I think, has not wanted this boom in the property market to stop by having these higher rates. So I think they've pressured the banks to keeping them low. And so I don't think it has affected our property market here.
So who's it affected then? Because the cost of borrowing, banks here borrow globally, right? So they're borrowing...
And from each
globally
other.
At higher rates, but then lending it out at lower rates. So are the banks suffering in this?
I mean, if they're well capitalized, the banks can just borrow from each other using the Emirates Interbank Offer Rate. Or EIBOR, as some people call it.
EIBORing. Okay, and so it's not had any effect on the market here, because certainly for Dubai, people are still buying, people are still taking mortgages. You know, people have not been scared off. You know, obviously the interest rates have stayed the same for 6 months now, when they were rapidly, rapidly rising, and then they've stayed the same for about 6 months.
Yeah, doesn't seem to have affected the market at all, because it was only a relatively small rise. I mean, 2.99 historically is very low, so 3.99 is perfectly manageable.
I'm going to turn off after I've asked this, because this is right in your wheelhouse and it's going to bore the bejesus out of me. But why don't you explain to people the mechanisms of a mortgage? What is a mortgage? How does it work?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Barney.
I bet you were. I bet you licking your lips.
No, I mean, it's very, very straightforward. You're just borrowing money from a bank, and the bank takes security over your property. And there's a slight difference between Sharia and Western mortgages. But
namely, what's the main difference?
So in a Sharia mortgage, the bank effectively takes ownership of the property and rents it back to you. And so you don't pay interest, you basically pay rent. But actually, your name's still on the title deed. So it's more of a, there's more paperwork involved. But it functions the same way.
Okay.
But sorry. I mean, I think, so in terms of what the banks, when they will lend you money, so banks will lend you up to 7 times your annual income, as long as your repayments on all your repayments, so on car loans, on all your property repayments, 5% of your outstanding credit cards, aren't more than 50% of your monthly income, so your monthly repayments. So you can't have debt repayments higher than 50% of your monthly income. They adjusted that slightly for Emiratis in some circumstances, but that's basically the calculation.
That's so good. I mean, if you think about it, you know, that's really marshalling people's spend and people's ability to over-leverage themselves, or hamstringing their ability to over-leverage themselves, which in that respect secures the real estate market. You're going to have far less foreclosures.
I mean, not even that. I mean, the loan to value, if you buy 2 properties, you need to have 40% cash in that second property, because you can only, so you need to find 40% cash and you can only borrow 60%. I mean, that is incredibly, makes the property market incredibly secure, because, you know, to get into negative equity, you know, the market's got to fall through the floor.
And there's obviously a threshold. So let's say you're buying a property worth, yeah, it's your first property, it's 5 million dirhams, mm-hmm. for argument's sake. You can leverage 60% of that, 75%.
So your first property, you can borrow 80%.
Okay.
Unless it's over 5 million, where you can borrow 70%. I'm just talking about expats here.
Yeah.
The figures are 5% lower for Emiratis. But your second property, you can only borrow 60%.
I think we'll keep it sort of directed at the Western population. The expat population. I don't think we have many Emirati viewers.
If an Emirati viewer, drop a comment in there.
Oh, yeah. Can we do the like and follow thing? Is that a thing? I see a lot of that on YouTube.
My kids tell me to
like
and
follow,
subscribe.
Whatever that means.
Like and subscribe and hit the bell button so that you're notified every time we have a video.
Nice.
Yeah. Thanks.
Awesome. We'll get your kids.
Learn that from chess videos, actually.
Boring. Boring. Okay, so let's assume I am an expat and I am moving to Dubai. I'm not even here yet. Mm-hmm. But I want to take advantage of, you know, low interest rates. I want to be able to put my roots down for my family when I arrive. What do I do? How do I get a mortgage?
So non-residents, can I get a mortgage? Non-residents can get mortgages. You need to put 50% down cash and borrow the other 50%, and it would be based on a credit score from your home nation, whatever credit bureau they use. So the banks will lend to you, but it's usually the best you can get, unless you're a GCC resident, is 50% a mortgage.
And which banks are doing that? All banks?
Not all. I mean, I wouldn't want to put my life on the line and say which banks are doing it.
Put your life on the line.
But it is possible. And I would think the majority of banks do it.
Okay.
Particularly the more commercial ones.
And what if I own a business and I want to move out of here? Still based on your credit score?
Yeah, still based on your credit score. I mean, okay. if you're self-employed, some banks take a dim view of that. I mean, as you probably know, you're because you're on the trade license.
I am.
Yeah, the banks often, you know, require more evidence of your income, audited accounts, you know, things
they
like that.
They don't like real estate. Mm.
And they don't like real estate agents, full stop.
Which is wild.
It's not wild because we don't have a stable income, because you've got to make those payments over 25 years. So they want someone who's got a job that pays them stable over 25 years, like a nice salary.
You're paid on commission. That's true, but we've just discussed the fact that you know, this is pretty, we're market dependent rather than actually owning assets in the market.
Yeah, so you might have a great 5-7 years, and then you could go through a lean period of 3 years. The bank doesn't want
that.
You
know, never happens. What are you talking about?
Foreclosing because, you know, your income dries up. So it does make sense. I mean, they don't have anything against real estate agents per se, but they have something against, you know, people who are just commission based.
Mm, that makes sense.
How volatile that is.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, it does. Any more questions about mortgages?
Oh, I'm bored. So bored. Can we stop talking about this now? Look, mortgages are a necessary...
Well, should you have
one? I mean, I call them a necessary evil because, you know, at the end of the day, you are borrowing money. And yes, you're borrowing it at, let's say, 3.5%. But actually, when you calculate that out through the whole term of the mortgage, you're paying back quite a substantial amount over what you bought it for.
Right, but, you know, you're getting the money. You can't get the money for free. I mean, it's
I understand.
It's the foundations of capitalism is borrowing money and paying interest on that money. So what you make sure that you do, and you've said in previous podcasts, and it's true in Abu Dhabi as well, you can walk into a 7% net return, you know, on an investment property. So let's say you're borrowing the money for that property at 4%, and you're getting 7%, you're making that margin of 3% basically, you know, for free. And so that's how you need to look at when you're thinking about getting a mortgage. You need to look at it, okay, you know, yeah, I'm going to be paying for the cost of using this money because it's not your money. So, you know, but am I going to make more money or am I going to save more money by doing that? And it's a relatively straightforward calculation.
So when I was buying my investment properties, I figured out my mortgage, and I ended up not taking a mortgage, but that's just because I'm fancy. But I figured out my mortgage just to be secure. I looked at what that property would have rented for at the absolute lowest ebb of the lowest part of the Dubai real estate market. And I thought to myself, if I can make sure that my mortgage payments are never more than that lowest possible number, that asset is completely ring-fenced. And we've seen peaks and troughs in the real estate market, certainly in Dubai and in Abu Dhabi. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you're able to borrow to the extent whereby, able to put a deposit down big enough whereby you can ring-fence your asset so you will never run the risk of losing it. Because ultimately, you know, when you buy a property and you're mortgaging it, there is always the risk that one day you won't make those payments and that the bank will foreclose on you. And that's a genuine concern for people that live here, especially, you know, people that I deal with. I don't have a lot to do with mortgages, hence the reason you're doing most of the speaking, but not all of it. You know, people here have a mindset where their home, where their families live, is their castle. And in as much as that they want to own it outright, no banks, no liens, no finance, because it can never be taken away from them. And it offers them, that's a mindset of, you know, people in this part of the world. And once you're in that mindset, I mean, I have a lot of conversations with high net worth individuals who want to invest. And I always explain to them, look, you're putting down 100% for one property. You can put down 50% and buy two. You know, and at the end of your 25 years, you've bought two properties rather than one. It's just not the kind of mindset that people that I deal with are particularly interested in. They want to own their properties outright, 100%.
I mean, you take it in two ways, really. I mean, that's an emotional way of thinking about it, right? This is my home and I want to, you know, be secure and I want to make sure no one can take it away from me. Someone can always take it away from you. If you go bankrupt, they'll come for your house, whether it's fully paid or mortgaged.
Not if it's in your wife's name.
I mean, possibly. But when you look at businesses whose job it is to invest in real estate, they leverage, by leverage, I mean take a mortgage as much as they can.
Yeah, I mean, these are funds, right?
Yeah, because the best way to make money, and to a certain extent it's the most risky way, is to borrow that money. Because if you can borrow 100% of the money at 4% and you're making 7%, you're making that 3% for nothing.
Is it worth the risk?
Doing nothing.
For 3%? You said it's risky. Is it worth the
that's
risk?
It's a calculated risk. And, you know, that's what these companies do. They calculate risk. And so what you did is a very sensible calculation. You say, okay, so, you know, what's the lowest, you know, it's ever been? You know, will my rent repayments cover my mortgage repayments? And that's very sensible. However, what you need to understand as well is that money that you're paying to the bank doesn't, you know, disappear the way your rent does. You're also paying off the loan on that property. So
after, what, 5-6 years? Once you pay the interest back, then you start paying a proportion of your loan.
You pay a proportion of the loan from day one.
But the proportion gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah. So in the first year, it's about a third of your payments go to paying off the loan and two-thirds is interest. And then, that changes. So that's the largest interest you pay. But you're paying off the loan, even if you're just making the bank repayments, you're paying off the loan. And that money is essentially going back into your pocket by reducing, you know, your debt. So mortgages, to be honest, whichever way you look at them, and if you think you can get a 7% net yield, a 7% leverage yield, where you get a mortgage and you get it for 4% and you're getting 7%, your yield is even higher. It can be as high as 12.5%
free money
on the cash that you put down. Yeah. And so if... you know, I won't explain leverage right here, you know, because it's... You know, it's not boring, but it's complicated, and it's also not complicated. But if you wanted to know more about it, plenty of good videos on YouTube, some by me.
You'll never find. I'll never be in one of those about leverage.
But it's actually, if you're a serious, you know, a real estate investor who's serious about making money, you should be mortgaging your property.
I agree. All jokes aside, I do know a little bit about mortgages and financing, and as far as I'm concerned, leveraging is the only true way of doing it properly and doing it on scale.
Yeah, but I mean, to your point, if you're buying a family home that, you know, you want to be secure in, and from an emotional perspective, may make a lot of sense to pay cash.
I think the very cool thing that we can take away from this is that mortgages are now much more readily available to incoming citizens to the UAE. I remember a time when it was almost impossible for you to get a mortgage without having been here for 6 months and having 6 months payslips, 6 months bank accounts. And now, obviously, you know, the federal government is spreading their net a lot wider and making Dubai a lot more attractive place to come. I think that's very cool.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to put a lot of cash down, but, you know, banks are comfortable when they're taking security on an asset where 50% is paid already.
Sure.
You know, they can be comfortable.
Very comfortable.
It's a great deal. So, yeah, if you're someone who hates mortgages, look into it. Do your research. I think
phone
it makes
Ben.
Sense.
Ben loves mortgages.
Phone me. I love phone a good Ben. Mortgage and a good bit of leverage. But you know, from an emotional perspective, you know, I understand they're not for everyone. And actually, on massive villas, and more expensive ones, where maybe your yield on those would be below 4%, then it doesn't make sense to get a mortgage.
You also have to have up to 60% down payment. Depending on how high you want to go. But I think if it's above 50 million, you have to have 60% deposit.
That's not mandated by the central bank, but some banks might require that.
They do.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I guess if you're buying a 100 million villa, people expect you to have the cash.
But again, and you're going to tell me why I'm wrong here, but surely if somebody has the capability of buying a 100 million dirham villa, their risk portfolio or their risk is going to be way lower than that of a regular person like what you and I am, right?
Should
so
be,
why
yeah.
would they demand a 60% down payment?
Could be something to do with the bank's exposure, because
to a single asset.
Yeah, to a single asset. The market's still quite small here, so they don't want to be overly exposed to one thing. I guess it burns down, maybe. Although you'd have insurance for that.
Anyway, that's been fun.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining.
You didn't say thank you, but you're still welcome.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for joining us. I hope to never repeat this podcast. I've been Barney from Dubai.
I've been Ben from Abu Dhabi.
And he's been boring. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
See you next time.